Lord, we pray for the one who preaches, for you know his sins are many. Amen. Please be seated. That's a good intro to my sermon, because a weird thing happened to me recently that reminds me of that. A few months ago, I stumbled across a short list of papers that are in the Moravian Archives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They're papers from John Philip Moirer, who was not only a Moravian minister, but also my sixth great-grandfather. The list included three of his personal diaries composed over nearly two decades in the mid-18th century. The list also included a poem that he wrote in 1744 about his engagement and marriage to a woman named Christiana Kraft. And so I got really curious about this poem. And I received an enthusiastic response from a young man who's a researcher there and wrote me back. He said it was great that I had sort of noticed this in the list. He said that it had apparently been miscatalogued originally, because as it turns out, it's really a 37-verse hymn. Now, the numbering seems to skip from verse 24 to verse 26, so maybe there are only 36 verses. I'm not really sure yet. Either way, it's kind of a crazy thing. And although I'd love to use this shortened version, the one with only 36 verses, as our processional hymn next week, all of the words would need to be translated from German into English, so it's going to take us a while to get there. Someone's actually going to begin translating that tomorrow, but in the meantime, I got pretty impatient, and I, of course, turned to the internet for some clunky assistance with trying to figure out the first several verses. The second verse refers to Jesus Christ as the Lamb and goes something like this. When I think of the past, the Lamb struggled with me. Although I gave him little joy, his heart was still burning. In love, he was always close to me. His spirit and grace always embraced me. Moira then goes on to express his love in return. Love for having been chosen by Jesus while still a sinner, and brought into the community of Jesus to remain his forever. Now, God only knows what the other 30-odd verses say, but that's at least a beautiful start. That contrast between the Lamb and my sixth great-grandfather, or anyone else who is an imperfect human being, which is to say all of us, is fully on display in this morning's reading from the book of Revelation. The one who is worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing is not among the myriads of myriads and thousands of people who are singing. Only the Lamb is worthy to receive that. And the Lamb, as in Moyer's poem, is Jesus Christ. Sadly, the book of Revelation has been used to terrify and scare people about the news they hear on the radio. It's meant to say that, yes, God will have the last word over all the terrible things that happen and will continue to happen in this world. But it's also meant to provide encouragement for those who are struggling, even a sense of wonder that God in Christ is somehow able to untangle all of the knots within us and around us. And so that's why we sing that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The book of Revelation, by the way, hardly endorses singing, as if to say that in the midst of humanity's cacophony and after all of that disharmony has ended, singing will have carried us through it and remain with us beyond it. There are more than 15 hymns sung in this book, surrounding us with encouragement from behind the curtain of materiality. Near the end of the book of Revelation, there's another image of the Lamb that appears, painting a picture for us of what heaven is like. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb, a wedding feast, which in the ancient world was a kind of dinner that went on for days, overflowing with abundance. And there, at the end of the Bible, it's a party hosted by Jesus. Angie and Stuart Kinzinger, whose double funeral was held in this church last week, used to host fabulous dinner parties in their home. And they'd print menus for these fun events. Here's one of them right here. The Anglican Archbishop in Jerusalem attended this particular dinner, and he was invited to sign a copy of this so that the Kinzingers could keep it as a memento, and that's not really very surprising. What is surprising is that the Kinzingers asked every other person at the dinner to sign that menu too, as though anyone who happened to be there was a celebrity. And that menu with all of the signatures was framed and hung on a wall in their kitchen. Those walls are filled with these framed menus. My wife, Carrie, had this to say about it in an essay that was posted on the Mockingbird website on the same day as the Kinzinger funeral. Every time there was a new dinner party, she writes, a new menu would be printed, signed, and framed, and they would squeeze the other frames together and rearrange to make space for the new one. There wasn't ever a sense that they'd run out of room for more menus, even as the walls filled with memories. They'd simply make more room. I imagine that the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim young people in Jerusalem, peace builders, and the girls on Angie's lacrosse teams felt the same way that I did. We all knew there was enough room in the Kinzingers' hearts for all of us. We all just squeezed together to make more room. I imagine, Carrie writes, that the kingdom of heaven is not unlike Stuart and Angie's kitchen, with its walls filled with signed menus. There will be someone who is always, always glad to see us and treat us as an honored guest. There's no fear that the host will run out of room, and old friends will squeeze together to make room for new ones. That's a beautiful portrait, I think, of how our life together with God might look. Now and then, we get to have a glimpse of it here, where our songs and laughter and feasting and friendship and small acts of love are like a thunderous chorus of praise to the Lamb who was slain. And sometimes we're overwhelmed with a very real sense that those who have died, having fallen asleep in Jesus, are still with us, and not just in our memories. They are among the myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, encouraging us as they sing to the Lamb and surround the throne of God with their own Easter Alleluias. My first experience of that happened as a child at the Moravian Easter sunrise service. The service always began in front of the church and ended in the graveyard as we stood with the saints, living and dead. I also felt it as a teenager when I crossed the threshold of an Episcopal church for the very first time at St. Thomas Fifth Avenue in New York. That parish church moves from plainness to glory in two directions, from bottom to top and from the back to the front. And there at the front is one of the world's largest reredos, an ornamental screen behind the altar, brightly illuminated and highlighting a multitude of saints. It was while looking at them that I first heard an Episcopal priest say these words, "Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory." Last Sunday, my wife and I were in New York and attended the 11 o'clock Festival Eucharist at St. Thomas. While hearing those now familiar words and looking at that reredos soaring heavenward, I thought about the past, like John Philip Moyer did in the words of his hymn, and how Jesus was always close to me in love, even when, especially when, I wasn't aware of it. And I thought, too, about the saints of God here at Palmer who died. We've buried three of them from this church during the season of Easter, with three more funerals to be held over the next couple of weeks. And others are mourning the loss of close family members. It's too much to bear, and yet the love of Jesus sustains us. The love of Jesus precedes everything else, and the love of Jesus creates love within us, within our hearts. And that love that fills our hearts within these walls is the same love that overflows into the world beyond these walls. And that love is the love that goes with us on this Serve Sunday. This I believe. Amen.